Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Doing a little something different today. It's a crossover episode, but with another Boston podcast, Locked On Red Sox. Let's talk Boston sports right now. Let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Welcome back to another Locked On Celtics podcast. We're in the offseason. We just watched the Miami Heat beat the Los Angeles Lakers to make this a series. Still down 2-1, but big win. Keeps it interesting. But the Celtics, we're waiting to see what their offseason looks like. This is kind of a unique situation. It's another month before the draft. More than that, actually. Usually the draft is like a couple of weeks after the finals, and we get this quick kind of, all right, draft, okay, free agency, okay, next, and then it goes into a lull. Because of everything, this is going to be a little bit different. This series is going to end within a week or two. Then we wait a month for the draft. They're going to have workouts, and so the rest of the month before that draft will get into some of the draft stuff, get you ready for that, talk a little bit more about what the Celtics might do. But today I thought it might be nice to start your week with a little something different. There are Locked On podcasts for all of your other favorite teams. There's a Locked On Patriots. There's a Locked On Bruins. There's also a Locked On Red Sox. And Gabrielle and I, she hosts the Locked On Red Sox podcast, thought it'd be fun to just get together and talk Boston sports, talk. There is a little bit of baseball talk. There is some Celtics talk. There's a little bit of general fan talk that kind of applies to both sports. And we thought it'd be kind of cool to do that. And we did. We had a very long conversation. It was actually about almost an hour and a half. So what we decided to do was split into two podcasts. Part one, right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Part two, if when you're done with this, you want to continue the listening experience, go to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. The rest of the podcast will be on the Locked On Red Sox feed. So part one here with Gabrielle and I talking a little bit about Boston sports, Red Sox, her kind of fandom, her kind of rise to covering the team, my start, if you don't know my whole story. Like, baseball was actually my first love. And then I kind of diverted into basketball. And I love, obviously, basketball. And it's become just my life. But I have an affinity for baseball, too. And we talk about that as well. So, again, part one right now with me and Gabrielle. And then part two on the Locked On Red Sox feed. So let's start the conversation now with me and Gabrielle, the host of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. And Gabrielle, this is like a first of its kind podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I think I clearly don't know what the college people are doing, whatever. But like, to have a Red Sox podcast and the Celtics podcast, this Boston sports kind of thing, I think is pretty cool. So I want to have my listeners kind of get to know you a little bit better, and you know, those who may still be Red Sox fans after this past season. but you, so you grew up like near Fenway, right?
Yeah, I grew up right down the street. When they have concerts there, I could hear them from my childhood bedroom. You know, it's a really interesting way to figure out your mom knows all the words to like five Backstreet Boys songs. but yeah, it was amazing. I mean, just grew up walking to and from the ballpark, and it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. You know, when I went to, so I went to Emerson College, and my dorm, my freshman and sophomore year, they still owned buildings that were on Charles Gate East. So,
wow.
Yeah. So for people who know Boston but don't know the street names, you come off of Storrow Drive to get into Fenway, and that kind of like that overpass is the difference between Charles Gate East and West. So those things are like million-dollar luxury condos now, which is wild to me. But back in my day, they were just crappy little dorm rooms. And when I first got here, so I was born in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And so I grew up, obviously, a big sports fan. Baseball was my first love. Obviously, being in Pawtucket, you become a Red Sox fan pretty quick because you're going to all Pawtucket Red Sox games. Rest in peace, Pawtucket Red Sox.
Oh, I
know.
Love them.
Trust me, I'll never acknowledge that other team that has now played in that is now going to play in another city. But I grew up loving baseball. I was very excited to go to school and to have my dorm room so close to Fenway Park. My first night, I opened up the window and it was facing Kenmore Square. I don't know if the wind was blowing the right way or whatever, but I could hear the slight like murmur of the PA announcer. It was just like so cool. You couldn't quite tell something, you just heard like and it was like, oh my God, I'm in Boston. I'm living in Boston. Like, this is the coolest moment. And back then, after the seventh inning, they would open the outfield grandstands and you could just walk right in.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is obviously considerably long before that, but they used to have this thing where if you were a member of the clergy, like a rabbi or a reverend or whatever, you had what was called a clergy pass and you could show it and then just kind of go and sit where you could find an empty seat in the ballpark. And obviously if somebody came up and was like, hey, dude, this is my seat, you know, and showed you your ticket, then you'd have to move to a different seat. But my dad used to just kind of like walk into Fenway and be like, hey, I'm a rabbi. And he would just go and sit. And he grew up in Boston too. So I think Fenway is kind of like, I know it's not the physical center of Boston, but that area is really like the heart of what draws people in to becoming a Boston sports fans, because you walk around Fenway on like a game day or a game night and it's just so alive. I think that's what I miss most, you know, this year obviously is just being around there. But yeah, I mean that area, like especially friends of mine who moved to Boston for college and they went to Emerson or Northeastern or any of those, Berkeley, any of those schools in that area, they kind of just get sucked into the Red Sox life because like that's what you get right there. You know, it's unavoidable. That's what that area is.
Yeah. And first of all, it's normally played, you know, when the weather's nice. It's an open air stadium. You walk by and, you know, because it's sunken, like you're walking by the street and the fans are kind of like at your level. You hear it if you're in that area and somebody, you know, rips one off the wall, you might hear the crack of the bat. You definitely hear the roar of the crowd. You see the glow of the lights. It does have a special kind of thing because of the nature of the sport, I think. Whereas basketball is usually played in the winter and inside a building and you could walk by and you wouldn't know if there's a basketball game or a Bruins game or anything else going on in there unless you notice the people dressed in certain gear going in. So, yeah, Fenway Park and baseball, they certainly can make a neighborhood feel alive. And like you said, I'm sure growing up there, you can hear like the crowds and the games and you know, who knows where your mind goes when you're hearing that stuff on a daily basis. So it makes perfect sense that you would grow up a Red Sox fan and start hosting a Red Sox podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I'm a third generation Red Sox fan. My great uncle's 102 years old. He's still a Red Sox fan. He was born in June 1918.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think it would have been weirder if I wasn't a Red Sox fan.
Sure.
Like, you know, if I'd been like, oh, I think I'm going to, you know, try and break the mold and buck the system and just become like a Yankees fan, God forbid.
Oh my
God. My dad grew up telling me Ted Williams bedtime stories. So like, I think it was like preordained. I don't think I really had a choice. So it's a good thing I like it.
Yeah. You could have rebelled. So then, then you became just a bigger Boston sports fan after that. You just kind of bought into the whole culture, right? Gabrielle and I continue our discussion in just a couple of minutes. I want to start a discussion with you because I know this is not an easy conversation to have. We're talking about erectile dysfunction, and I get it. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to discuss it. You might not even want to discuss it with your wife. If you're blaming yourself, you want to say something like, you know, I lost my mojo. I'm not feeling it. I had a long day at work. Whatever it is, I get it. It's not something that's comfortable. So with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. And you can talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple. It's safe. It's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's really just Red Sox and Celtics for me. Obviously, like, I'll root for the Bruins. I go to Bruins games sometimes. You know, a lot of my family's from the Midwest, so a lot of skating and hockey, and I grew up skating every Sunday with my dad. So he spent a lot of his life in Minnesota. So, you know, hockey is kind of part of it, but I was such a diehard Red Sox fan for such a long time. I kind of liken it to parents who have a child and then they kind of worry when they're thinking about having a second child, from what I've heard, that they won't be able to love the second child as much as they love the first. Like, and then they say your heart just kind of opens up. And that's kind of how my Celtics fandom started. Uh-huh. Of like, I always liked them. I would go to a game or two every year. But I just truly was like, you know what? I'm so invested in the Red Sox. I don't know if my sanity can take becoming this invested in another team. Because I'm not going to half-ass it. Like, I'm all in. I go all in. But it just kind of happened. And Kemba Walker was a huge part of that. But, you know, Jalen and Jason before that. Big fan of Enes Kanter. Daniel Tice, Marcus Smart, obviously. I mean, it's weird because growing up, my favorite basketball player was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh.
Who obviously was retired long before I was alive. But it's like funny because I was like a Celtics fan whose favorite basketball player was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I don't know, though. I mean, this team, especially this year, you know, they were so fun to watch. And they were clearly they had such great chemistry and camaraderie, and really were just so united that it made it easier to even like fall in love with them even more. Because I mean, I have friends who are like Heat fans who are like, you know, I'm supposed to hate your team, but God, they're all so likable, you know. And I was like, yeah, I know. I mean, you can't not like them. Like, you can root against them, but you can't deny they have, you know, that kind of it factor of like just being like a genuinely fun team to watch. I mean, maybe not so much in the Eastern Conference Finals, but for right. most of the season, you know, they were genuinely like a joyful team.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. People now, I think, are going to have, they are having their reactionary kind of, you know, bitter taste in their mouths. And whenever it ends at a place where some people don't think it should end, you know how it goes. It's,
oh yeah,
it's pull out
fire
the torch.
Brad.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, God, I can only imagine how things are going with the Red Sox on that end. I don't follow a ton of Red Sox fans. For me, like I said, I grew up loving baseball, and it's not that I don't like baseball anymore. I still like it. I still watch it, but also at the same time, my dedication to basketball has slowly whittled away my ability to pay attention to everything else, because especially during the season, it's like 24/7. I wake up and there's Celtics stuff going on that I have to pay attention to. And then after that, it's NBA stuff that I have to pay attention to, because obviously I host a Locked On NBA podcast and I'm writing about the league as a whole. So paying attention to the Red Sox this season, when the seasons were playing concurrently, I was like, they suck. I'm not going to. Yeah, Alex Cora did what now? Okay. Oh, he's gone? All right. Catch me up in a few months.
And see, I'm the opposite because for me, like I already was really excited for the Celtics season, you know, last spring, like June, July. I was like, is it time yet? And it helped having the Celtics to look forward to when the 2019 Red Sox were so frustrating, because, you know, last year they were defending World Series championships and they clearly did not defend. And then this year you knew that they were going to be even worse because they had like a two-man starting rotation and no Mookie Betts. And that was before coronavirus hit. And then Chris Sale had Tommy John surgery and Eduardo Rodriguez was out for the year with myocarditis. Like that was all, you know, you talk about like how bad the Red Sox were going to be when spring training was happening in February. And then COVID hits and it gets like four times worse for the Red Sox specifically from like a player roster standpoint. And I was like, oh my God, thank God for the Celtics, because, you know, I still have to cover the Red Sox. I'm still watching the Red Sox, but like there were so many nights where the Celtics were on the screen of the TV and then the Red Sox were like on my laptop on the coffee table. And I was like 80% watching Celtics and 20% watching Red Sox, because like I have to do my job and I have to support my team because I love them even when I hate them. But, you know,
yeah,
I was like, oh, thank God I can watch a team that is actually not making me want to rip out my own eyeballs and hang them from my car rear view mirror like a pair of dice, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, this Red Sox season was just one big swirl down the toilet. Like you mentioned all of the stuff. I mean, the Mookie Betts stuff.
It's a throwaway season. My gratitude is that it was only a 60-game season, because can you imagine 162 games of that?
Yeah. Oh, I saw somebody tweet like, that.
It was probably me, honestly.
It might have been you.
I've said it multiple times. I mean, that's literally like the one blessing in disguise. I mean, I'm never going to say that COVID's the worst thing that's happened to our country probably ever, but you know, from a purely baseball standpoint, the Red Sox benefited. That's not a good way to say it, but
no, I know what you're saying. You're saying basically the fact that it was a short season.
Of all the years for Chris Sale to have Tommy John and Eduardo Rodriguez to be out with myocarditis and to not have a full starting rotation, to be without Mookie Betts, to not have Alex Cora after the investigation, like all of those things, we were fortunate to only have to endure them for 60 games and no postseason, because 162 games of that, like you will lose some fans for life. And I'm not saying that that's like fair or good or positive or anything, you know, but
yeah,
I'm just glad I didn't have to cover more than 60 games of that for Locked On Red Sox. That's sure. All I'm gonna say.
Right, that would have been a long season. Look, it's
oh yeah,
we like we can
it
talk
felt
about
long even just doing 60.
I know.
Honestly,
you're probably just like, oh God, pull the plug on this thing.
Like, so they gave up 8 runs for the 7th game in a row. Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox. That was what it was like for the first like 2 weeks of the season. It was just like every game was like they have given up at least 8 runs. And I was like, you're going to just hear me say the same thing I said yesterday.
That is wild. That is wild.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's there are, we can talk about, like, you know, the pandemic changed a lot with our sports. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I've got the NBA finals on, and, you know, the Miami Heat are a team that benefited from having a hiatus and from having a training camp and from being able to, you know, work two guys that they acquired at the trade deadline and really take advantage of that. And the Celtics benefited from, you know, being able to rest Kemba Walker. The way Kemba Walker was playing, when I saw the last, I was in Indy for their last, like, regular season game prior to the shutdown. And he had no burst. He looked bad. I know they were trying to slowly work him back in, but he just didn't look good at all. And that, you know, March, I don't know how they would have done it. I don't know how he would have looked. So even though Danny Ainge admitted that Kemba Walker was still banged up, to not have to have all of that time off still put him in a great position to be kind of healthy. So there's always positives and negatives. I think there's the standing caveat that we know the pandemic, we will all would have preferred that this pandemic not happen, but it happened. And so within that, the time off does, if we're talking just from a pure sports perspective, does impact things in a certain way. And so now with the Red Sox to now get this crappy season over with and not subject people to 100 more games of this, which is just sickening to think, is a good thing. Now, what happens next? I'm curious, because I haven't paid attention to the machinations of what a next season will be. What are they just planning on hoping that you just get back to a normal spring training? Because this is October baseball, and this is about when the season would normally end anyway. Going to continue the conversation with Gabrielle in just a moment. I'm going to have to continue looking for my next shipment of Built Bars. I just ran out of my last order because I have been eating them basically every day. Every time I go to the gym, I grab a Built Bar because I know it's the perfect thing for me to eat after I work out. It's, first of all, delicious. Like, anytime you eat something, don't you want it to be delicious? There are 18 amazing flavors. They come with nuts or no nuts, so if you've got an allergy, no problem. Covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, they're awesome. They're great for a health-conscious person, whether you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in something delicious. I get the peanut butter ones. Maybe I'll try a new flavor, but right now, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 net carbs. Beautiful. Because when I get onto that cardio, when I get onto that elliptical machine, I know when I get a Built Bar, it's not going to eliminate what I just did because I'm working my ass off on that thing. So I know I can count on a Built Bar to give me the energy and the nutrition without blowing out the stuff that I'm doing. The protein's going to be great for feeding the muscles that I just use to lift and try to build a little bit of muscle. So go to BuiltBar.com. I'm going to go to BuiltBar.com. I'm going to spend my own money to go and buy myself a new box. And I can use the promo code, and you can use the promo code, Locked On, because it's going to get you $10 off your next order, whether you've used the promo code or not. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of people have kind of, at least on social media, where obviously you have to take everything with a grain of salt, that, you know, it's social media. I feel like a lot of people are acting like, you know, 2021, like the second the clock strikes 12 at midnight on New Year's, it's like some kind of reset button where, you know, COVID's gone and everything's back to normal. And, you know, we're back at ballparks in 2021. You know, there's opening day at Fenway Park and the 37,000 plus seats are packed with people and there's fans in the stands and players can hug each other when they have home runs and spit on the grounds the way they used to. Everything's going to be the same. And I mean, I would love that to be true. I doubt that's what it's going to be like. I mean, I think that baseball is going to have to spend a considerable portion of the offseason putting a plan in place for bubble spring training. You know, I mean, the fortunate thing with half of the league is that half of the league plays their spring training in Arizona, the Cactus League. And I went down there it'll be 2 years ago this spring that I was down there for my first spring training ever. And the convenient thing there is that all of the spring training facilities are within about 45 minutes of each other in the Phoenix, Tempe area. And, you know, it's not like a perfect bubble, especially given the fact that it's Arizona, but you've got all the teams where they can just hop on a bus and drive, you know, 20, 30 minutes from the Padres spring training facility to the Dodgers spring training facility, for example. With Florida, it's a completely different issue for the Grapefruit League because you got teams playing 5 hours away from each other. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, both of those places that I just mentioned are two of the worst states in the entire country in terms of COVID. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do in terms of spring training, in terms of bringing baseball back, because you did have a lot of players get sick. You had over 18 Marlins players and staff get sick. You had a ton of Cardinals players get sick. Eduardo Rodriguez, like the only reason that the Red Sox were so incredibly careful is because Eduardo Rodriguez could have died.
Right.
And, you know, you can't do that again for 162 games. Like, they are lucky that things went as well as they ended up going. And look, we're still in it right now. And you've got the Padres and the Dodgers facing each other for the division series in Texas at the Rangers' new stadium in Arlington. You know, they're kind of just doing these things right now where they had to kind of act quickly because it was getting to be mid-June and baseball still wasn't back. And it's like, at that point, what are you going to do? You're going to have Red Sox players playing regular season baseball in Boston in November? Have you been to Boston in November? Like, players from the Caribbean are not going to do well playing in Boston. And it's hard enough playing baseball in Boston opening day. I mean, last year on opening day, it snowed. And I was like sitting there worrying if I was going to get pneumonia from being at opening day in March and in like early April. So, you know, they've now had, obviously we are in month 7 or 8 of this at this point. And they know it's not going away right away because you got to get a vaccine out on the market and you got to make sure that is available to the masses. And you got to make sure people are actually getting it because that's a whole nother issue and that it's affordable and all that kind of stuff. Baseball is going to have a plan. There's no reset button. I know this is a really long-winded answer, but they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do because you can't have an 162 game season starting with a, you know, 40 game spring training in Florida when all of this is still going on. They're going to have to figure something else out. They're going to have to be smarter and safer, and they're going to have to be better about the testing. I mean, they figured it out towards the end, but for a while, it kind of looked like it was not going to work.
I didn't think that there was going to be a baseball season at all. The way both sides.
I didn't either.
Yeah. The way both sides were approaching it. When you started seeing Marlins players get sick and, you know, all of these things that you mentioned, I didn't think baseball was going to happen. Now we have Dr. Fauci saying, hey, everybody be prepared to hunker down again. So, and you're starting to see upticks in COVID and this as Massachusetts starts like relaxing some of its indoor seating type of things. And I think it's a kind of a scary time. You know, basketball has a luxury of being able to do what they're doing here in Walt Disney World, which is play in a bubble, play in this one arena. They can do that because the sport is not restrictive. Baseball is such a different animal that I don't think you can have this bubble situation. Where do you have it? And you know,
I was told that the ESPN complex in Orlando has baseball fields too. I'm not sure how many they have, but
so
that was one of the biggest things when this whole bubble idea was floated around in the winter. You know, we like talked about it with my girl at the game co-host, and I was like, oh man, I'm so jealous. You know, they get to live at Disney and do all this fun stuff and hang out and jump around in the pools and just like be normal people in this bubble. And I was like, you know, who really needs that is baseball, because they play each other. You know, there's a baseball game 6 out of 7 days of the week. And especially during a 60 game season, like the Cardinals played 53 games in 44 days to make up for all the games they missed when they had a bunch of players with COVID. You like Major League Baseball, of all of the teams, of all of the leagues, needs a bubble more than anyone, because they play almost every single day. I mean, there are tens of thousands of baseball games each season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to comprehend how they would do it. And even basketball, let's go back to the basketball thing. They can't do this again. They can't, because the guys who, if I were to have the Celtics in here in a genuine moment, they would say, I guarantee you, they'd be like, no, again, like this, 3 months away from
being away from your families and not being able to do anything.
Yeah. It's just,
I had one of the Red Sox starters on the podcast last week, and I was like, so, you know, you couldn't do anything in Boston. You had to, what, tell me what you did when you weren't at the ballpark. And he said, well, you know, we were only allowed to be at the ballpark a certain amount of hours before and a certain, like an hour or so after. Like they had very, usually it's like, you know, you just show up at the ballpark whenever you want, you do your thing. He's like, we were only allowed to be there, you know, X amount of hours before. And I said, so what did you do the rest of the time? He said, oh, I played PlayStation and I FaceTimed my family and I sat in my apartment. And it's like, you're going to ask people to do that first at spring training and then for 162 games from March until ideally October, if your team is good enough. Like, you can't ask people to do that. You know, I have friends who are married to MLB players saying, you know, I wasn't allowed to go see my husband play baseball this year with my kids, but now the commissioner wants to let fans pay to go into the ballpark. But I could, you know, I had to sit in my house all day to keep my husband safe so that he could play baseball.
Right.
And I couldn't go to the ballpark with him, but random fans who you don't know if they've been healthy or not can pay to go see my husband play baseball. You know, it's just a mess. It's a total mess.
Yeah. It's too much. It's too much to ask of these guys. And, you know, it's okay for shorter stints, but it's to do it for as long as the NBA has done it. Like these guys now, the Lakers and the Heat, just to be out here until now it's October. This is the October 5th show. A lot of these players got there in July. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's been 3 months. It's just, that's just too much. And I think that war on the Celtics, I really do think like the Celtics were just part of the problem is that not only were they not fully healthy, but I think they just were exhausted by the end. And
yeah,
there's an element of, okay, it sucks that we lost, but I think there was an element of relief. Like, hey, you know what? Okay, we lost, but I'm home, and I'm just happy to be home. I can't imagine those guys stepping off of the plane, landing in Massachusetts, driving to their homes, just having this moment that they haven't had in months, that just petting your dog, picking up, you know, the simple thing. Never mind the actual family stuff, like just sleeping in your bed and like being able to walk around your house. I mean, I don't know how the NBA is going to do it when they come back. If COVID comes back and is worse and we have to fight this whole thing again and we're not getting a vaccine until who knows when, and that does open up questions of like how are cities going to do this? Is the NBA going to have to do regional bubbles? How's MLB going to handle it? You're going to have another shortened season. Didn't MLB just sign a new TV deal?
Oh, yes, they did. They can't afford to pay their minor leaguers, but they just made a multi-billion dollar television deal.
That's another thing. See, this is,
oh, yeah.
I will say.
They're very unlikable, John. I will say at every turn, they have the opportunity to just kind of, you know, bank some goodwill to do the right thing, which in the long run would net them more success and more money because, you know, they'd be growing the game for the future. But even things like, you know, telling talented artists who have worked with them in the past, you know, I saw this, there's this great guy on Twitter, Athlete Logos, and just, they were like, you know, you have to stop creating MLB related content and delete all your previous work, even though they had been hired by Major League Baseball to do social work for them. And this is like a long-winded example, but you're just like, okay, so you want to stifle creativity. You don't want people creating beautiful stuff that's, you know, celebrating your game, even when you're the one paying them to do it. You don't want families to be allowed to be in the stands watching their own fathers and husbands play ball. You black out baseball games, even though it's a pandemic. So people at home can't even watch their own favorite team. So then they just resort to streaming it illegally. Like, I was blacked out of every single Major League Baseball game that the Red Sox played this season. No matter if they were on the road or at home, I was blacked out of those games because I live in the state of Massachusetts. And I was like, the Red Sox are literally in Tampa Bay. I'm blacked out of their game. And I'm supposed to cover this team for work. In a regular season, I would be in the press box. And I can't even, like, I have to watch the game on like a Reddit stream because
how does that make sense?
You want to make it like that every turn they make it harder for themselves. You know, they price families out of the ballpark. Then they wonder why ticket prices are down. They black people out of games, but then they wonder why the viewership numbers aren't good. You know, they let people make homophobic comments on the air and then they don't fire them. And they wonder why they have trouble with LGBTQ plus community. It's like literally everything where it's like, you know, you could, I mean, look, Adam Silver is a great commissioner. Rob Manfred could just monkey see, monkey do everything that Silver does. And baseball would be so much better off. He has a great example of commissioner leadership, like right there.
You right.
can copy his homework proverbially. And instead, it's just like literally every possible positive thing that they could do. They're just like, no, we think we'd rather not. We think we'll just punch our fans in the face instead. You know, it's very hard to support them when they are just kind of giving fans the middle finger every single time. And especially at a time like this, when it's like people are really kind of looking for something to give them hope and make them happy. And, you know, we're all stuck at home. Like, my boyfriend's a Dallas Cowboys fan and they are not good this season again. And I was like, well, what, you're not just going to stop watching, are you? And he's like, no, because what else am I going to do on Sundays right. when we can't leave the house, you know? So it's like of all times for baseball to, pardon my language, like be a dick. Like, you know, this is just like not the time.
Baseball embrace is really your fans. Great at that.
They never want to do the thing. They are their own worst enemy, to quote that iconic late 90s, early 2000s song with the really great beat. You know, they are truly their own worst enemy.
They really are. No, like I'm surprised. I'm shocked that baseball got their new TV deal because I really think that baseball is I thought baseball was struggling. How they got that TV deal, I don't know. I guess I was wrong.
Well, see, that's the thing that I also, you know, don't understand, because I haven't really looked at the numbers so much in depth, but the thing that's so interesting is that baseball made a record high revenue last year, 2019. It was over $10.5 billion. I think it was like $10.7 billion for Major League Baseball overall. Mm-hmm. And yet you had a team with less than a million people in home attendance for the season for the first time since the 2004 Montreal Expos, who then ceased to exist. So you kind of have this weird situation where on a human level, baseball is falling apart in a lot of ways. On a financial level, you know, Steve Cohen's buying the Mets for billions and billions of dollars. They haven't won the World Series since 1986. The Kansas City Royals were sold last year for over $1 billion. They've barely been competitive in the last decade. These teams are making so much money at an ownership level, but it's not trickling down into fan success. And you look at it in the same way as, you know, to bring it back to the Red Sox, you asked me about the offseason. And I wrote a whole off-season to-do list for them. I also dedicated an episode of the podcast to it, just saying, you know, one of the biggest things that they should do, if for some crazy reason fans are allowed in the ballpark next year, is lower their ticket prices. I said, because unlike the, like, yes, I know the Red Sox lost a lot of money this year, but guess what? The Red Sox are valued at over $3 billion. Their ownership group is the third richest in all of sports. They can afford the financial losses that they are being dealt this year. You know who can't? Most Red Sox fans who already can barely afford to go to one game per season, because for a family of four to go to a ballpark, it's at least $60 per ticket, not to mention either transportation or parking. You know, concessions, maybe a souvenir. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars just for one night at the ballpark. And you know what? Most people will not be able to afford it. It is going to be considered a luxury for too many people. And that's a shame for both them and the team, because they don't seem to realize that if they just for a few years lower those ticket prices, you're going to have a bunch of young families who can afford to take small children to the ballpark. And those kids are going to become lifelong paying Red Sox fans who will grow up to spend their money on the Red Sox. But if a kid doesn't grow up understanding the magic of Fenway Park, they're not just going to suddenly at the age of 30 be like, you know what? I think I'll check out that Fenway Park thing I've heard so much about. Why don't I go spend $85 on a ticket and then buy two $20 beers for myself? Like, that's not how it works. You have to be an addict when it comes to baseball. You have to be so in need of it all the time that you can't live without it. It's feast or famine. And with the Red Sox, I'm like, you know what? If you raise ticket prices, you will show fans once and for all that you truly do not care about them. Because after what has been one of the worst times in American history, people just will not be able to literally afford to come back. And you will be slamming the door in their faces, giving them the middle finger. It'll be the worst. I mean, especially for a team that can afford it. You know, I'm not saying that the Rays should do the same thing, but my dad's best friend is a season ticket holder at the Rays, and each ticket is $13 per game. So it's really not the same thing. But for a team like the Red Sox, where, you know, they can afford to lower their ticket prices, they need to, because otherwise they are going to lose a lot of fans. And it will be entirely on them, not on the fans who wish they could go, but look at their bank accounts and say, you know what? Sorry, kids, not this year. We can't afford to take you to Fenway.
Yeah, I think there's some element of that that crosses over to other sports too.
Especially Bruins games are so expensive.
Yeah, I think it's really on these team owners to, and on the leagues, on the commissioners to say, all right, we got to make sure when fans can come back, like whenever they come back to Celtics games next year, it's going to be limited. They're not going to fill 19,000 seats at the Garden.
No, they can't.
They can't. So
the fact that it's indoors is already more of a risk than, you know,
right,
Fenway Park when it's 40 degrees outside.
Right. So however the NBA comes back, it's going to be interesting and I think limited. And so I think just finding a way, like, rather than try to just charge whatever they decide they're going to charge, normal prices for the seats and whatever, like, I think they should just find a way to cut the prices for that for the season. I think every sport, every team should do that and hopefully extend like some goodwill to the fans. Like, look, we know that this has been problematic. We know that you haven't been able to watch in person. Now you finally get to watch in person. Let's cut you a little bit of a break, because as things have been financially difficult for these leagues, I mean, they're still fine. You know, they'll make up these losses. Our listeners, you know, this, you know, you listening on to this podcast right now, I mean, who knows how you've been impacted? Did you lose a job? Did you get furloughed? Did you, you know, how did this impact you? And now to turn around and be like, yep, well, no, the tickets are still $150 or whatever it is. Like, no, like let's get some people into these games and give them something to cheer about whenever they can, and cut them a break. I think that's the best way to do it. So I'm with you on that.
Even if they just make tickets affordable for kids, like, I'll be honest, most of my jobs are freelancing and consulting, and a lot of that's gone away during the pandemic. So for me, if I wasn't able to go to Sox games for free, I wouldn't be able to afford to go.
No,
and
right.
I mean, this is my job, and I literally would not be able to afford to get into that ballpark. But I mean, you know, so like, I have so many people who have tweeted to me being like, hey, do you know of any way that I can get affordable tickets, because I want to take my kids and the tickets online are so expensive, or just saying, you know, I can't afford to take my, like, this was 2019. They were like, I can't afford to take my kids. You know, they were like, I have two kids and I can't afford to take them. And
right.
You know, that just breaks my heart. Cause I think about, you know, being a little kid going to Fenway and just being in total awe of what I was seeing when you walk up those ramps and from the concourse onto the field. And that feeling never really goes away. And I wish that every kid could experience that. And the thing is that for other teams, like the A's did this thing where they just let kids in for free. I mean, obviously, look, the Coliseum is not getting the same amount of fans as Fenway Park, but any team that, I mean, look at the Marlins. Like, the Marlins should just, in a regular season when it's safe in a health, you know, perspective, the Marlins should just be like, any kid under 10 gets in free, because what do they have to lose? Those seats are not being filled anyway, and maybe someone can't afford the tickets, but they can still afford water bottles, and then you're making money off of those. You're at least making something, and you're growing your fan base. You know, stop shutting people out of the game.
So like I said at the beginning of the show, if you want to continue this conversation, go to Locked On Red Sox to get part two. We split a very long conversation over two podcasts. So I enjoyed this conversation with Gabrielle. She does a great job on Locked On Red Sox. And I think it's important to support not only the other podcasts in the network, but another person in Boston sports that's out there doing this same work. And I know that a lot of Celtics fans are also Red Sox fans. I hope that you are, and I hope that you've enjoyed this conversation. You can subscribe to both of the podcasts. There are also Locked On Patriots, Locked On Bruins. Locked On Patriots is really important right now. If you're a football fan, you want to know the latest on Cam Newton and that COVID outbreak. They're playing on Monday night because the game got postponed. This is just a whole mess. So you've got to listen to Locked On Patriots to get the latest on that. So subscribe to that. There's a Locked On for every sport, every team. Just search it and you'll find it, and you can subscribe. You regular listeners, you know I love you. Thank you for rating. Thank you for giving a good written review. Back tomorrow. It's a daily Monday through Friday podcast. So tell your friends, share this podcast with everybody, and tell them they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.